I ask you to really concentrate today because our series is on prayer, and each week we've been trying to cover a little something different, and we are going to try to give you a few good pointers today. Jim, you want to give everybody a Bible, if you would? I'm going to read you something that will just encourage you before we ever just get into anything else, and it's found in Hebrews. Some of you, and I say some of you, I should just say some of us, I've done this before too. Has anyone ever been afraid to go, like you've been called to the principal's office? Anybody ever? None of y'all ever done that. But you get a little bit of fear if Dad says, I need to see you. And you get a little scared there because you don't know what it's going to be like. In the book of Esther, when she went before the king, she was afraid to go in because she even told her dad, Mordecai, she said, if I go in and he hasn't summoned me, he can kill me. And then she finally had to come to the realization, well, I'm going to go, and if I die, I die. But at least I'll die for a good cause. So we get scared when we approach a king, or we get scared when we have to go to the principal's office. We get scared whenever we feel like we're in trouble or whatever. And sometimes if it carries over, in Hebrews chapter 4, let me give you something. It's the same thing. We get scared to come to God. Oh, he's going to hammer me. He's just going to smack me down. God's not like that at all. If God would give his son to die for you, why on earth would he be mad at you when you come to him? Well, I don't want to bother him. You're not bothering God. Matter of fact, give you an idea that he uses a word here, and you see if you can pick this up. Man, this whole chapter 4 is just chock full of so many good things. But let's start reading in chapter 4, verse 14 of Hebrews. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens. See, Jesus went straight through the heavens. He's now seated at the right hand of God. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. By the way, it's a whole other message in itself. You can't profess something unless you possess something. Does that make sense? I got to possess my faith to profess my faith. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest. He's just now saying, okay, we've got a high priest. It sounds contradictory. No, listen. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who's gone through the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Verse 15, for we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. And since we've got that kind of Jesus, verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. King James says, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. If you ever feel like, does it do any good to pray, or should I really pray, or I don't, does he really want to hear me? Jesus hangs on your every word. Mm-hmm. He sees us as children that need a father. God the Father wants us into his family. Once we become into the family, don't you think he wants to hear from you?
Yes.
Absolutely. He just wants you to pull up a chair, so like this, and we're going to have our prayer with Jesus that you can have it every day. And all it is talking to God. I really do. You think, oh, is that corny or don't I have to bow before him? Sure, I treat him with respect and adoration. But sometimes you can almost have, it's like a tuxedo. We pull it out. And, you know, Jenny would, if she was in here, she'd tell you I was bad about this. If I go to a Steve and Chris Chapman concert, if I get me a t-shirt, I'd bring it back to the house. Some people would buy a t-shirt. They'd immediately put it on at the concert. If you're one of those kind of people, I applaud you. I didn't. I'd take mine back and I'd neatly fold it. And I'm going to save that for a while. A special occasion. A year later, I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it. I now take the t-shirt out and it could fit Rachel. You know, I've outgrown the t-shirt. I didn't use it at all. Now, did I have the t-shirt?
Yes.
I just never used it. And some of us are going to walk into heaven and say, you're my child. I love you, but why didn't you talk to me? Well, it's just, you know, you're so unapproachable. No, I'm not. You're the t-shirt that I don't really want to use or wear because I don't want to wear you out. Wouldn't it be the other way around? God is never going to say, oh, Richard's talking again. What is it this time? God will never do that. Oh, man, come on back in. I feel like I just left. It's okay. Open line of communication. So here's what I want you to think about in prayer. To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Mm-hmm. Just a daily occurrence all the time. Jesus, here we go again. I'm going into Kroger's. Help me just be alert for people that are lost. Or you might say, man, I'm having a rough day. God, you just help me. Relieve my pain. Or I've got a pain here. God, and I just stay in constant communication. Martin Luther said that. Thinking to pray, you may wonder, well, how should I pray? What should I say to God? How often should I pray? Does it really do any good? Or does God hear me and answer me? Now, to answer these questions, how should I pray? Just focus and intent it from your heart. You say, now God, and that's why they call it a quiet time that you're having with God. A quiet time. Just get a few minutes and it's like, now God, I really want to focus right here. I'm sleepy and my eyes are just, but Lord, would you help me with something today? Or if you just want to, God, you're wonderful. You think through stuff. You just go through the whatever's on your heart. What should I say to God? Anything from the heart. What do you talk to a friend about?
Right.
Just anything. Oh, let me tell you something that happened the other day. I will come in and sometimes Jenny will say, well, how was your what?
Day.
Why don't you just talk to God like that? God, let me tell you, I'm guilty of that. You say, well, I plead the guilt. I am. I do that with God. My mom used to have these mailboxes at the post office. And it was almost like a cubby hole for everything. I pray like that. I know I must be crazy, but I just can't. Now, God, let me think back to this morning. All right, I got up, got dressed, went in there, spoke to some, and I just think through my day. And that, for some reason, I've walked through the day, and where I've messed up, I ask forgiveness, where I've done something I think honored Him, that I'm thankful, and I just go through my day. Does anybody else do that? I must be strange. But anyway, that's just but I just feel like if I mess up, I can't even say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Let's just get going. No, Lord, I really got angry just a few minutes. Now I'm praying specific. And sometimes I do that. How often should I pray? Pray all the time. Just keep it going. Does it really do any good? Oh, I'm going to show you something today. Yes, it does, absolutely. Does God hear me and answer me? I think God hears us. He sometimes says no. Give me a person in the Bible who didn't have his prayer answered the way we thought he might. How about this guy called Elijah that said, oh God, just let me die. For that, I'm never going to let you die. I'm going to bring you to heaven without dying. Serves you right. He gets up. You know, Jesus said, if there's any way to let this cup pass from him, and yet not my will but yours be done. Second prayer, he prayed three times. He's like, oh God, basically it'd be in our language, and help me get through this cup. He'd already got the answer. By the way, how did God send him help? In the form of a what?
An angel.
An angel came, and at the last, God's third prayer was basically, all right, let's do this. It reminds me of Todd Beamer on the airplane. It said, you remember, 93, Flight 93 is about ready to crash in. Todd Beamer's last words were his wife, let's do this. And that's what Jesus said, and the disciples are like, this is it. This is what he came to earth to do. So he got answers. We just sometimes get answers that say yes, wait, or no. That's okay. Don't fuss at God if he says no to you.
That's right.
I'm going to take up for God right here as if he doesn't need Edgar to take up for him. But some of us, if I had you up here, give you a good... Quit fussing at God like that.
Right.
Melanie, do you always say yes to your kids? I hope not. Can I eat a Reese cup and the Debbie cakes and just the whole... Sure, honey. You're right ahead. You don't do that. Can I run naked in the snow? No. Besides being against the law, you're going to catch pneumonia. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't love me. We do that to God. God, heal Grandma. Not going to do that. Don't you love her? I know she's 98. Well, what do you want to do? Live to 500? See, we get mad at God when we don't get our way. Just remember, I'm His child, and He's going to do with me what He feels is best.
Amen.
And if he says, I'll heal you, great. If he says, no, I don't understand. Max Lucado, one of my favorite, if not my favorite author, he said he's starting to get a little bit of pain. I get a pain right here. I just feel like I need cortisone. And now when it's, I think, God, it hurts when I bar cords. I know that. Okay. Thank you, God. And Max says, my hand hurts. He said in one of his books, he likes to take a yellow legal pad. Anybody ever seen a yellow legal pad? He said, I like to write out things wrong. He said, God, I'm a writer, and you're taking my hand strength. I know that. Why does he do that? We're good guys. I don't know, but we just trust God, and he's doing what's best. And if he gives me what I ask for, great. And if he doesn't, I heard this definition for prayer one day, and I just love it. You pray, and the outcome is this. you'll be the same, you'll feel the same towards God, whether you get an answer of yes or no. Isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. So if God answers my prayer, I'm going to love Him. If He doesn't, I'm going to love Him anyway. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that's what you... Would you go clean your room? No. I love you anyway. I got four cats. They'll bite me sometimes while I'm trying to give medicine. I'll go, "Pah!" I don't do that. Huggy will sit there and clamp down on me. I'm thinking, "You through? Sorry. It's all right. My hand is bleeding now." I got this fresh one yesterday. Huggy got in the backyard. And I was just letting him on a leash. And Jenny says, "He'll just walk around and stay close to the house." Okay. So he wanders, and usually he does. He'll stay in the front yard. I'll go out there, and he'll be about 2 feet from good. It's like an electric fence on the house. So I'll just holler at him. He'll come on back. So I'll go back in the side and do something. Okay, yeah, he's right there. I went back and sat down yesterday, and I said, "Jenny," she said, "I just let Hope." Yeah, he's roaming around. I'm thinking, "I don't know what it is. I just need to go get him." Who told me that? Hey, Holy Spirit prompted me yesterday. So I go out, and I said, "All right, Hokey." Not front yard. Now I get panicky a little bit. Mm-hmm. Got to go in the backyard. Nothing. I think, "Hokey, all right, God, you got to make me attentive." Mm-hmm. Okay. Neighbor's fence is right here. That's the fence that goes here, and there's one in our backyard. So I went through here, and he's just got a brand new fence. Right in that little V. Hokey wandered right through there. He gone. And I thought, "Jenny, there he is. He's got in between two fences." Then he was going, I thought he's getting ready to fight somebody through the fence. Now I looked and I said, "No, he's not fighting." So I came through there. I don't want to show you my stomach because I got scratches all over it. But he wasn't getting ready to fight. He was choking to death.
Oh.
Choking.
Oh.
I scraped back through there, tears, nails from the other one, and finally reached down to get him. And he was up there on his high, on as high as he could go, going, like that. Oh. Nothing was going. I got through the fence, had to reach down again. That's where he dug me into the back one. I didn't care like this. I'm clicking like, "Oh, are you okay?" Like that for about 10 minutes. Went in there and gave him asthma treatment like he did. I went back out there and said, "All right, I'll go." In through, you know how a picket fence goes like that? Mm-hmm. Through two pickets, over through here, wrapped around the bush, come back up, and I couldn't even get it out of the last one. So he went like this and then fell off the fence and was actually choking to death.
Oh.
I thought, man, started weeping. I said, "God, I never even asked for this prayer. And you answered it anyway." How many prayers do you think God answers if that's even asking?
Yes.
Who told me to get up off the couch? Well, that's just coincidence. You say that. I don't believe that. You think God hears me? He hears you when you don't even pray.
That's right.
So don't you dare doubt Him when you do. "God Almighty, I'm just asking it." And you do that. And you just pour your heart out. And it won't be because we haven't prayed. So can I give you this? What is prayer? You don't have to write all these down. I'm just trying to review with you. What is prayer? The sacrifice of Jesus Christ has made a true and meaningful connection with God possible for everyone. God invites all His followers to pray. Here's the purpose of prayer. If you forget all these, I just love the first one. When you talk to God, that's worshiping Him. He loves your attention. He inhabits our praise. So you cultivate a personal relationship. The more you pray, the closer you'll feel. You'll reflect on your daily actions. Remember what I told you? I like to put mine in the little cubby holes. Now, God, here's my day. I'll make requests. I'll express my faith. I repent. I receive forgiveness. How to pray? Just follow Jesus' example. Just tell God how much you love Him. You show your attitude of love and mercy towards Him. You approach God with confidence. Remember, approach the throne of God with confidence. So what is prayer? That's it. Here's another thing I'll remind you of too. Not only about how to pray, the purpose of prayer. Check this next thing out. Hindrances to prayer. This is where I sort of step on your toes a little bit. If you sit down and say, "God Almighty, I love you, but I hate my next door neighbor." And God says, read 1 John. What? 1 John, I wrote it in the Bible. Told John to write. And it looks down there and says, if you love God and say you hate your neighbor, you're a liar. Ow. I'm just telling you. So if I don't like somebody, anger toward others, if you let sin go in, sin is sort of like a splinter working its way to the surface. It's going to stay sore. You just keep ignoring it. Neglect to confess any sin. Bottom line, if you doubt that prayers will be answered, you're just asking with the wrong motives. But if you pray doubting, the book of James says you're like a tossing sea. So how about this? I'm going to ask for something, but I don't really think you'll do it. God says, thanks for that. How about this? What if you went to your child? You get to take a test. And you say, Terry, you get to take a test, and I know you're going to fail. She would weep. Mom, God, here's my request, but I know you're not going to do it anyway. God says, man, it hurts my feelings. God's response to prayer. He listens to us. He answers those who trust Him according to His will. So ask with boldness. If you can get this idea of boldness, I'm going to show you that. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. How about this one? Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Mark 11:24. So we got to... You mean pray like we mean it? Yes. I'm going to give you an example of how a church planner does that. So if you need some power in your prayer life, check out Philippians 4:6-7. Don't worry about anything. But I enjoy worrying. Don't worry about anything. Another verse of the Bible says, what do you accomplish by worrying? Matthew 6 tells you that. What do you accomplish by worrying, Paul, sir? Do you add a cubit to your life? Do you add more days to your life? He says, no. But in all prayer and supplication, watch what we're supposed to do. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He's already done. Nothing like a confidence builder to already thank Him. Then you will experience God's peace. If you say, I just don't have peace, it's not God's fault. You go talk to Him. You'll get that. Which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds. Some of us feel like we get attacked by the devil. But if you want a shield for your heart and your mind, God's peace is that. And I get God's peace the more I talk to Him. Want to listen in as someone prays? Want to see their faith in action? How about this? If you, Max, I showed you a little clip of a movie. Max says when he was getting that bumpy ride in the airplane, what made him feel better? Because he knew the pilot. And if you say, I'm just worried about so-and-so, and I'll say, Jenny, why don't you give him a call? Okay, let me pick it up. And they call, okay. You see what I mean? If I'm worried, if I just talk to God and He talks to me, then I feel better. So I don't know about this boldness. You want to see faith in action? Would you look in the Bible at this right here? Chapter 1 of Nehemiah. Chapter 1 of Nehemiah. I'm going to let you eavesdrop. When I was in Giles growing up, we had a party line. Now, I probably mentioned this before, but it bears repeating that my mom and grandma would get on there. We had a phone just like, we didn't even have Andy Griffith where you'd call the, we call it Central. On the Andy Griffith show, they call it Sarah. But you'd take this little ringer and you'd ring, ring, two short rings. That was my grandma Reed. Long and a short and a long, that was my house. Short, long, and a short, that was the elementary school. So we'd sometimes get calls from them. But they would call and my granny would start talking to my mama. Anybody ever seen the Andy Griffith episode where the Mendel Bright sisters are talking to each other all day on a Sunday afternoon? And, of course, Mr. Tucker wants to get on the phone and he can't because they're just talking. Oh, my granny Reed and my mama would talk sometimes. And you just had to be careful that you didn't want to say anything that you didn't want somebody to hear because as they would talk, he would pick up the phone and listen in. And my granny Reed heard a little bit of breathing one day and she said, you know what, somebody's listening to us. And my mama said, yep. I think you're right. My granny Reed says, I know who it is. It's that Coy Carter. And out of nowhere says, no, it's not. Coy answered his own. And then suddenly we heard a click. So my granny, yeah, it's Cody Carter's listening. No, I'm not. I'm not. Oh, yeah, I guess you were. Sometimes you get to eavesdrop and you get in trouble. I don't want you to get in trouble. I want you to read Nehemiah chapter 1. Now, you found it in your Bible?
No.
Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. Find Psalms. Find Psalms, go to the left. Richard, if it makes you feel any better, I couldn't find it. I thought somebody had taken it out of my Bible just a minute ago. Job, Psalms, and Proverbs. So if you go find Psalms, go to the left about three books, you'll find Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. If you want to eavesdrop like a Coy Carter, here you go. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah's prayer. Where's the prayer found? Well, a little bit of introductory work. His friends come and say, in the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was at the citadel, that's the capital of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. I asked them, hey, what's going on? And then they said to me, oh, it's not good. Not good at all. Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. Look at that. They're back, the wall's broken, and it's been burned down. And while I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. Yesterday I was crying when I got Hokie off that play. I think, oh, Lord, he could have died. And I just thank Jesus. I said, Lord, you kept him alive. And if you've ever been close to an animal, like Virginia tells me about her bear that she used to have. She didn't actually have a grizzly bear. She had, but you weep when they hurt. Nehemiah's weeping because he's hurting. His people are hurting. When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and what?
Right.
Now I pray. Finally comes to his place that he can pray. He finally gets the tears dried. He cared. He was sensitive. And he finally prays. Let's listen in on his prayer. We're going to be Coy Carter and eavesdrop right here. And then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, Father who art in heaven. You see a similarity right there? We're calling him Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God. What's he spent the first line doing?
Praising.
He's praising him. He's bragging on him. God, you're God. Who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keeps his commandments. What did he just now say? God, you're faithful. God, you're awesome. God, you're faithful. Verse 6. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants. Bottom line, God, hear my prayer. It's from the heart. I need some help. Remember Max's short prayer? God, you're good. I need help. They need help. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Well, check it out. God, you're good. He says that. Then he says, I need help. And right there's where he starts to cry again, probably. God, the wall's down. We're a disgrace. We're the Jewish people, and people come out and laugh at us and mock us. I wonder if Christians ever feel that way in today's world.
Yes.
We stand for truth and people make fun of us and laugh at us. Here it is. What's the next thing? Adoration. You know, you adore God. Confession. Look where it's coming up to. I confess. There he is. He's asking forgiveness. I confess the sins. I love this word. We Israelites. What did he just now do?
All
of us together. Now, he's been in the Citadel. It'd be like me going to Arlington and I get me a job up there and I don't even live in Giles anymore. Somebody comes back and says, oh, they burned Giles High School to the ground over there. Man, that's my home. What do you care? You live away. I'll always care. What's the old saying? You can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. That's always my home. I got kids at Southern pray laughing. You going to talk about Giles again? Yeah. Okay, have a seat. You know, and I just keep right on going. That's my home. He says, my heart's broken. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. Lord, we are wrong. Would you forgive us? Notice he's done all these things before he's ever asked one thing. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Can I translate that for you? That's why we're in the mess that we're in. That's why I'm working here, and that's why the people back home don't even have a clue as to what's going on. The remnant comes back together, they're trying to rebuild, and things ain't going good. But God, we cause this. And if I drink every day of my life and I finally catch cirrhosis of the liver and say, God, what'd you do this to me for? What did I do that to you for? You drink a fifth a day for 40 years? That's no different than me take a hammer. God, you give me a headache. I'd like to. It's probably what he feels like saying. You're the one giving yourself a headache. You're the one making yourself miserable. Quit blaming me. It's funny, when things happen good, we don't thank God, it's a coincidence. When things happen bad, it's all his fault. God's going. So, if you ever get pulled over for speeding, it's the policeman's fault. He's the one running radar. You have nothing to do with it. Your foot's clear down under the carpet on the floor, but it's his fault. He's the one that pulled you over. We can't do that. We've acted wickedly towards you. We've not obeyed the laws. So remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you're faithful, I'll scatter you among the nations. All you did what you said. You promised if y'all keep being unfaithful, I'm going to scatter you. He scattered the Jews, and he said, we're just living up to what you said we'd do. But if you return to me, now this is good news, but if you return to me and obey my commands, and even if your exiled people are the farthest horizon, if y'all don't catch this, please pay close attention to right here. Prince, I'm talking to you and I'm talking to all of us. If somebody in your family wanders away from the faith, he just now gave you a verse for that. Look at this. He says, God, you tell us we're going to reap what we sow. If we sow bad oats, we're going to reap bad things. But then watch his promise. But if you return to me, you tell us, then even of those people that have wandered the farthest,
yes.
You ever feel like the black sheep of your family?
Yes.
God says, you're never too far for me to get a hold of.
Amen.
You're never too low that my ear can't hear you.
That's right.
You've never gone out of sight that my eye doesn't see you. You always are within the reach of God. Man, that was me in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And some of you, I can read your mind right now, that you said at one time, I've sinned too much. God will never take me back. He doesn't love me now. I've wandered too far. And God says, no, I still love you. No, you haven't wandered too far. And no, I'm going to bring you back.
Amen.
If you return, oh, you don't know what I've done. Yes, I do. If you return to the farthest horizon, if you're out there at the farthest horizon, I'll gather you back. I'll bring you back to the place of my dwelling. And finally, he says that in verse 10. So, they're your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, and to the prayer of your servants, who delight to revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. He's going to go to the king and ask permission to go rebuild the wall. And by the way, God answered that prayer. This impossible job that was supposed to last 5 years was 52 days. It was done. See, the devil made, you'll never do it. We will do it. A prayer. Look at this next couple things then. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, I want you to see this again, that has passed from the heavens into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Don't you dare give that up. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched. Oh, yeah, I mean, I like Johnson and Tommy and all those guys and Charles, but that we're on a different plane. Charles has got about 20 albums, and I mean, they're nice enough to shake hands, but I mean, am I really the best friend of Johnson? No, we're acquaintances. So I would call us friends, but no. But I'm glad Jesus is not like this. Jesus, I think I know you. No, Jesus, like, he's going to give me a hug every time. He's going to give you a hug.
Yes.
Your picture's on his refrigerator, on a magnet. That's what Max Lucado says.
Yeah.
He loves you. Amazingly, he just, I'm glad I'll get to heaven. I'm going to sit down. And Jesus will not say, I got an appointment, Edgar. He won't say that. Edgar, you sit and take as long as you want. We got eternity. You not tired of talking to me? Oh, man. I love you. And since he's forgiven me of all my sins, and since he went through temptation, there's hope for me because, said Jesus, I'm tempted today to do something wrong. You were tempted in Matthew chapter 4. How did you handle it? Well, I quoted Scripture a lot, Edgar, so use Scripture and you can fight the devil better. The devil hates Scripture.
Yes.
So when the devil says, why don't you look lustfully at this woman? Job says, I've made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look lustfully upon a woman. Sounds pretty good. I got a covenant going on with God. Devil goes, use Scripture. Well, get angry. Be angry and yet not sin. Get mad for the right things. And get mad that somebody took my parking space is not a right thing. That's no big deal. So I'm going to go by Scripture. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I read a book that talked about boldness, and I like this. Let me show you what I'm going to refer to in this next one. Instead of being bold, maybe you feel like you're just going in circles with your prayer sometimes. You ever do that? Same old, same old. I want that to stop, and here's what you can do. I'm going to encourage you. Then why not pray in circles? I looked at this book called The Circle Maker, Praying Circles Around Your Biggest Dreams. And I heard Mark Batterson actually speak at Liberty. And he's a church planter. He planted in Washington, D.C. He planted his is called National Community Church. You say, but that's Mark Batterson. He's not like Edgar Moser. No, we're not. We're on level ground. Really? I'm not saying I'm as great as Mark. Mark's not saying he's great. I'm just saying God called us to plant a church. His happens to be in the D.C. metro area. I'm going to show you a little video clip of him. He started with the church at our side. Really? He started with people giving about what you guys give. Let me show you where his church is now. We won't watch this whole thing, but I think it's important to hear a guy who prayed boldly. You're going to be encouraged to pray more boldly once you hear Mark talk.
That's still not. It should be. What things from me?
Yeah.
No, that's not it. That's it. It might just be a radio cue. One, two, three after that. Two. Maybe you want to hear Mark come. That should be. Yeah. So it's not that. Well, I'll just have to tell you what Mark's saying, I guess, here.
That's okay. It's so much better since he gives his testimony. I've heard that before, but... Okay. All right. Well, if we won't pick him up, I'll tell you a few things. You can click it back on. Mark Batterson went into D.C., and he said he had the prayer walk. And that's where he got the idea of the circle. He said, I usually start off, and you may think, well, that's silly. Well, it's not for two things. One, sometimes we feel like we've got to do something. For example, I don't know why. You can have any position when you pray, but if you get on your knees, why does that seem a little bit more close to God? I don't know. I'm not sure. But sometimes I'll get on my knees, or sometimes... I like to talk aloud. That's why I pray in the car. People think I'm crazy when I go by them in traffic, but that's okay. I just like to speak aloud. But I've walked around this church building before we moved in it, seven times with the Joshua. You know, Joshua walked around Jericho seven times. Well, Mark gets the idea that he prays. He just walks. So while he's walking, he will pray. He said when we first moved into D.C., he walked on a route that went down around the D.C. area, and it ended up being right around 4.5 miles. And he said he prayed, and again, I'm stealing his thunder because he would tell you so much better. But he said, I prayed that day that God, I would just keep walking around the D.C. area. His church was probably small like ours as compared to some. I think we're the good size. We're the size God made us. But to as some people's standards, he said it was small. He said it was roughly, he said folks were giving around $2,000 a month. He said it was costing us $1,600 to use the building we were in. So he said we didn't have any money. And we didn't have a lot of people, but I just knew I'd better pray. So he said, I kept praying. I would walk around those 4.5 miles. And I finally got God's attention. He always has God's attention. She said, but he said, God, I just need you to work in a big way. And he just poured his heart out. And as he would walk those, God says, I'm going to give you this. You're going to make a difference in this area. A couple of things he did. He got a building that would sell for $4.5 million in D.C. He said, I walked past this building. I didn't realize until later I went past this building for me, a crack house. It looked old. It looked dilapidated. It was just torn up. That is now called Ebenezer's Coffee House. they sell more coffee in the D.C. area than Starbucks. He said, we're the number one selling coffee shop in the D.C. area. All the money that goes to Ebenezer Coffee House goes to missions. So he says, we now own a building that's worth $4.5 million. We now have a, he said, matter of fact, we've got 7 buildings that we use in the D.C. area all belonging to National Community Church. How do you think God did that? We give you a building. If you had to buy a building in D.C., do you think it'd be expensive? Yeah. But he said he would find a building that looks like it's about to be torn down, and we would buy it and we'd fix it up. And he says, matter of fact, now, I don't know where this is. Where do you like to pray? Like I said, whether you're on your knees, whether you just pray and say, God, this is my prayer. It's my war room. You know where his war room is, Richard? It's on top of the Ebenezer Coffee Shop. Because he will scale the ladder, go on top of Ebenezer Coffee Shop, and he says, this is where I like to pray. And I even get down on my knees, and he says, this building used to be a crack house, hurting people with drugs. It's now Ebenezer Coffee Shop, bringing light to the world. You've transformed Satan's territory and taken it back. I got news for you. I'm taking back what's mine when I have happiness, okay? The devil tries to rob, because Jesus tells us the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. He's not my thief. He's not going to steal my joy. So I'm not taking what's his, I'm taking what's mine. He's stealing my joy. So he says, this building needs to be used for God, so he just devotes it to God. So he's like, we're going to go into the devil's territory. Can you finish this verse for me? It says, we're going to go out with power, and the gates of where? Hell will not stop it. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought this before. Picture the kingdom of darkness. And here's the gates of hell. That's the kingdom of darkness. And we are Christians. Now, if the gates of hell will not stop us, are the gates of hell coming after us? Really? Are the gates of hell coming after us? No. The gates of hell right over there. What did Jesus just tell you with that verse? The gates of hell will not stop me. We're going into hell, basically. And we're taking people who are controlled by the devil. And we're going to bring him out. So the devil's not over here. I want to be on the offensive. So nothing's going to stop us. Okay. I want to close with the last couple things. You don't have to turn to it, but I'll just show you something. In Nehemiah's time, when he finally rebuilt that wall, he had encountered people trying to hurt him, people trying to curse him, and finally this is what he said. Chapter 6 of Nehemiah, verse 15. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this and all the surrounding nations saw it, our enemies lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. I wrote this in my own words right here in my Bible. It says, God's back in town. God's back in town. Yeah. And when your life wanders away from Jesus, and the devil just gets some of those hooks in you, and by the way, I know those hooks can hurt, but you finally say, enough's enough. Right, Richard? I'm bragging, Richard, that's what he did in the last couple. Enough's enough. I'm going back and getting what's mine. You're not going to steal my joy anymore. You're not going to captivate me. I'm busting free. And guess what? I am under new management. God's back in town. God went back in management of my life. I was saved when I was 8 years old, got up through high school, thought I knew more, just wandered away from the Lord, not meaning that too much, but just slowly got away from Him. And God got my attention, and I finally said, enough's enough, put my foot down. I had some of my friends, we sort of liked you the way you used to be. I know, but I'm not that way anymore. I'm under new management. God's back in town. Well, as we close today, I want God to come back in town. Because the closer you get to Him, you will be a testimony. Your old friends will say, how come you're like this? Well, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if a man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature, new creation. Old things are passed away. I'm not who I used to be. God's back in town. I'm under new management. Let's finish. Let's have a time of prayer right now to just talk to the Lord. Let's enjoy communion together as believers once we pray. I just put up these words of the song. If you need something to pray about, we're going to do this in remembrance of Jesus. But we don't have to sing it. I just want to give you the the words. Look at this. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the price you paid. Bearing all my sin and shame and love you came and you gave amazing grace. Next verse of this song says this. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. It was physically that he hurt too.
So you wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. We have been transformed. We've been redeemed. We're under new management. And then the chorus says this.
Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. High and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven crucified.
Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
The darling of heaven. I love that. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray with confidence to know in my life's under new management. It is ran by you now. I occasionally get in the way, and that's when I ask forgiveness and say, Jesus, I don't mean to get off the path. And Lord, even this week or last week, I've just made a new commitment in my own life. And I say, Jesus, you know deep down in my heart who I want to be, and that's your servant. So, Jesus, may you touch us all to look deep down in our heart. Lord, we may mess up, but that doesn't stop your love. So, Jesus, please forgive us of all our sins and shortcomings. I pray that everybody in this room has the confidence to know that they're saved, that they have one time in their life have asked you to come into their heart and be their Savior. And, Lord, we can't wander so far off that you can't come get us. But, Jesus, you do expect us. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are your workmanship, created into Christ Jesus into good works. If we don't see our works change, if we don't see any changes, Lord, we need to make sure that we're yours. So, Jesus, today, help us to do a little soul searching right now to make sure, positively sure, that we know you as Savior, that we're forgiven. So, Jesus, right now, would you just touch our hearts? Would you speak to our hearts? If someone doesn't know you, Lord, help them to know that all I have to do is ask you to, Lord, would you forgive me and come into my heart and save me? And you've promised whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, Jesus, tonight, or today, from morning till night, if we just praise you all day, it wouldn't be too much praise. You tell us in Revelation that the angels are going to sing 7 days, 24 hours a day, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Jesus, today I pray that we'd praise you for that, that you are our God, you are our Lord. And Lord, as we take this communion, I know you're pleased with us. We're remembering what you've done for us. So Jesus, please, even right now, speak to hearts, draw us closer to you. Help us to be thankful for what you've done on the cross in Jesus' name. Amen.